I remember this quote saying, "Good communication is the bridge between confusion and clarity." But what does it mean, a good communication, especially if you're a business owner and communicate as a company? On today's episode, I talk to brand communication strategist for business clients, Anita Egliete. She helps companies to find their brand voice, set communication standards, and strategize internal and external communication. Anita shared with me how she became the communication expert, how she had to get rid of perfectionism, well, partly, and how we as humans connect better with brands that have a personality. This is a Non-Cool People podcast, and I'm your host, Kat. Enjoy, cool listener.
When you meet someone new, how do you introduce yourself?
Actually, I'm changing this line every couple of years. So this is like a very interesting thing for me, because now I'm in a new position that I have put myself in, and now I have to start telling people a new line for me. So this is something new and exciting for me. Now, my line for the last half a year is that I am a communication specialist, and I work with companies and help to improve and fix their communication. I'm the one who checks out what they're doing, how they're doing, and what we can do to help them do it better in terms of communication.
That sounds very interesting. Let's go a bit deeper into communication. Communication is a very wide and broad term. How should we understand this communication part? How do they communicate within the company between themselves? How do they communicate with their clients? How do they communicate with a bigger audience? What is this communication?
You're totally right. Communication is such a broad topic. And that's why I have narrowed it down for myself. And I look at just in terms of companies and in terms of brand and brand representation, how this communication helps to represent their brand. And it actually involves everything, including internal communication, external communication, written communication and oral, how they talk among themselves, the team, I mean, and how they talk with their partners, with customers, and how they write emails, even how they write their Facebook posts. So everything that brand, how brand is represented to the outside world, basically. And I work with companies because there is also a distinction. But what you are yourself doing, you are building your personal brand. And those are two sides. You can build a personal brand and you can build a company brand.
Why did you choose companies and not personal branding?
I think, firstly, because I got the idea from my previous work of employment. I worked at IKEA in-house as a translator and copywriter, and I was dealing with all those language issues and the questions. Well, IKEA is a very global brand, as you know, but when they entered Latvia, they had to adjust their communication and language and voice specific to this market. It means deciding how you want to present your company in a local market in terms of voice, in terms of how you sound, what image you make, depending on your attitude, how you talk to your customers, how you write, what tone you have in your words, in written words, not just oral words. It opened a totally new world for me. It's like, wow, I didn't know any company actually do something like this. And I was working with that for almost 5 years. And it opened like a totally new world for me. And I started paying attention what's going on in other companies. How are they doing this stuff? I noticed that big companies, like global companies, most of them have these things in order. But when it comes to smaller companies or Latvian local companies that had grown fast from a very small company to now earning millions and, I don't know, big money, they actually haven't paid close attention to this. And that is totally understandable. because they have so many things to deal with, and the customers and expansions, like, whoa, it's huge, of course. And they have neglected somehow, maybe some of them, communication. But mm-hmm. now when the processes are running smoother, that is a very good time that companies are paying more attention to it, especially now that I'm pointing it out to them. It's like, whoa, yeah, really? I haven't really thought about it. And that is one reason why I'm dealing with companies, because that's where the source is. And secondly, it's more interesting for me at this point, because it deals with more people. It's a wider range, because there's so much things to do. I would say it's easier for building when you build a personal brand, because there's just you as a one player, or two or three, whichever, depending how large of a team you have. And that is much easier to keep your tone, to set your personality and stick to it. That is so much easier. But when you have 10, 20 or 100 employees, and that is so much harder for them to speak in actually one voice. And that's why I come in, to get their voice, to know what it is, and teach them all how to stick to it.
Very interesting. Yeah, I love this approach of learning the best practices and then moving those best practices to improve others. This is amazing. And but to do that, to do this with the big companies, you should have your own personal brand, correct?
Yes.
So what's your personal brand? How would you describe it?
I am actually in the process of building my personal brand. I am just like those companies that I just described. You have so many ducks that you have to put in order, and building my personal brand and getting working with my clients and doing so many things, and actually building of my personal brand. It's so, sometimes I have a feeling that it's like dragging behind. It's somewhere, it's coming behind me, but it's not by my side. It's not really, actually, I'm not in it. I'm more into my communication and helping others at this moment. And that building my personal brand, it's like something is happening. I don't know. I'm building it in parallel or something. It's something is brewing. I'm not really know what's going on there, but it's brewing.
But yeah, what you just said, I think it's a quite important message to someone who is starting, because sometimes we wait to create everything perfect, perfect brand, perfect logo, perfect, I don't know, whatever else we need. And we neglect starting point. And what you've said in the beginning, that your sentence is changing all the time, how you introduce yourself, because how you grow and how you change.
I have been a perfectionist all my life, because previously I was a translator. And for me, my income depended on my perfectionism. And that's a good thing. Perfectionism is a good thing in your work when you do your job properly. But it's sometimes not sticking to your professional side only. It crawls into personal life as well. And I had a tendency to be perfectionist in so many things. I wanted to be everything perfect. And when I planned, for example, even my vacation, it was hard for me to be impulsive. It had to be perfectly planned. It's like, well, it's crazy. It takes so much time, so much effort, but it also reduces my enjoyment of things. Just enjoy the moment. Initially, I wanted to build a translation agency, because I was not satisfied at so many translations coming in from translation agencies, and I was not satisfied. Like, no, you have to do it properly. You have to do it according to the company's internal standards for communication. You have to do it properly. It's like, okay, I'm building a translation agency who will do these things properly. So, okay, let's do this. And I started talking to companies. It's like, we're offering translation services according to your internal communication standards. It's like, what standards? What is that? We don't have that. And I was like, one company, second company, third company. And then one company asked, maybe you can do that for me. Maybe we actually need this. It's like, I don't know if I can do it. Yeah, probably I can do it because I know so much stuff about communication. I have studied it at the university in my master's degree, and I know so many stuff, and it's a very interesting topic for myself. So I have digged in it for such a long time, and I know so many stuff about this. It's like, yeah, so probably I can do this. And one client by another, a company, another. And this is how I totally abandoned the idea of making a translation agency. Because I see that there is a need in the market. So basically the market changed my offer. And if I would be a perfectionist, I would never do that because I don't know how to do these things properly. I had to be honest in the beginning, not only to people, but also to myself. It's like, okay, you don't know how to do this, but are you ready to do this and not be perfect? And that was a big challenge for me. It's like, oh, I don't know. I want this to be perfect. But I know if I would try to do it perfectly, I probably wouldn't have started. Just like with my YouTube channel. Yesterday, I launched my YouTube channel. If I would want it to be perfect, I would wait, I don't know, for 2 more years probably. But who knows what will happen during those 2 years. And I will learn more if I post an imperfect video. I will learn more from that than waiting 2 years to post a perfect video. So thank God for abandoning perfectionism in the sense of doing stuff. And if for example, of course, if I meet a translator or a surgeon or a dentist, I want them to work perfectly. I want them to be perfectionist. But that's a different topic that we are covering here. Here we are talking more about restricting ourselves and not going full in our lives just because we want to be perfect.
That's very true. And how to abandon perfectionism is probably, first of all, to realize that you have it, to assess all the risks. Like you've said, if I'm a surgeon, well, I have to do my job on a perfect level. But if I'm starting a podcast, I'm starting a business, my own thing, I don't have to be perfect in that. I'm going to learn and I'm going to grow on the way, because I don't think anyone who started their business and were excellent and perfect from the beginning. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know who is not growing within their thing. So thanks for sharing this story also about yourself. I think it also kind of puts a lot of weight off some people who are starting something and maybe still doubting themselves. Should I do it or should I not? Should I wait? But as you said, well, as long as we wait, we don't learn. And when you start doing that, you learn on the way.
There is one more thing that somebody told me that before abandoning my perfectionism or reducing my perfectionism. So I hope this might help also someone else. Is what helped me was discovering why I'm actually doing this. Why? And I know that I want to help improve communication in so many companies. I see so many things I wish would be better for Latvian companies. Well, I work also with the international companies, but now specifically my why is for Latvian companies, because I have seen so many not so perfect communication cases when dealing with companies myself. And it's like, oh, If you would just fix this one little thing, it would be so much better. And not just for satisfying me as a customer, but satisfying so many of your customers.
Can you give us an example of one thing that you have observed in a company communication that you are like, oh my gosh, if you could just change this little thing, that would improve you tremendously?
For oral communication, it's the basic is every day. You go in a shop. For example, I go in one and the same shop every day, and there is a person, like a shopkeeper. And it's normal that we have moods, and shopkeepers have one day she or he is in a good mood, in a bad mood. I have been on their side. I know what it's like to have moods and to work with customers. That is not negligence or I don't know, they're not being evil. I know they just haven't, some of them just haven't thought about it. And it's like you affect your customer with your mood. Mm-hmm. And seems like, yeah, it's natural. People have moods. Yeah, that is natural. That is so true. But you are affecting your potential income in the future. You're affecting your whole company or the company that you represent. You are affecting its image. And that is so much more. It goes so much deeper than just your mood. And we are emotionally intelligent beings, I would like to assume. So we are supposed to work and deal with our emotions and not to shut them down. I'm against that, of course, deal with that, but in some other time. Usually we solve it just by explaining to people why should they maybe do it differently. Not say, don't do this. That's wrong. No, you can't say to people, to employees like that, because they are emotional beings and they need explaining why should I do that? Why should I change? Why should I, and how to do it? How to flip my mind, not to have my emotions be in a way when talking to a customer. That is for oral communication. For written communication, the first thing that's like so obvious is when going through a Facebook feed, for example, when companies represent and they haven't decided how they want to address their audience. Mm-hmm. In Latvia, there is a distinction whether you use you in official form or tu in more friendly form. It's like tu and jūs. And for most people, it's like, I don't care. I didn't even notice how they speak to me. Yeah. But subconsciously, communication does magic on subconscious of people. And it also includes such tiny detail when you decide how you address me. And that changes the relationship we are having, whether it's more friendly, it's more open, more close, or it has like more distant attitude, and you get that by just simply changing a few words in your written communication.
And it depends on the company, how they want to approach it.
So it's not just about the company. Well, I have decided that I will talk everyone to in this informal, friendly way. But if your majority of your audience, and you know that you need those people to do your business, actually can be offended by that, then there's this thin ice you have to walk on, and you have to really decide and evaluate and consider. It's whether to stick to the way you want to be or to adjust more to your audience. And it depends how large is your audience and how much you depend on it.
Let's talk about brand. What is a brand? Why should either company or a person care about its creation and how they communicate?
There are many ways to see brand, but I see brand as a personality. And that's why it's so obvious for a personal brand, because that is brand, your personality. But for companies, I see brand also as a personality. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, the thing that many companies are missing. And they are seeing themselves as a legal entity, as a company, as a business. But nowadays, the audience and the customers, they have a tendency to build closer relationships with companies that they actually, so to say, resonate with, that they have like this connection. And it's so much easier to build a connection with a company when you know, or you think you know, its personality. It's like you feel its soul. And that's what I call a brand, like this personal brand for companies. And that is the side of the brand that I'm actually working with, not the brand in general. It's such a broad topic. And there are such good experts in Latvia who work with brand. And they're doing an amazing job. And I'm covering only this aspect of brands, of companies as personalities. And why is it important? It's important actually not just for their outside representation, but also for employees. because I have noticed that employees sometimes they come to work because they need job, they need income. That's okay. They need salary, and that's natural. And that's it. They come to work. They like their colleagues. Sometimes they become their friends and they're having a good time, but that's it. Maybe they even like the brand they're working for. That's perfect. But sometimes what they miss is like this connection or this string, the connecting their heart and the company. And why they miss it is because company doesn't know what its personality is. What they know, what image they want to portray, but they mostly know it's blurry. The picture they have in their mind or the management has in their mind is sometimes mostly blurry. But when you put it in words and in writing and you give it to people, we are this person, we're kind of company, but actually we want the outside world to see us as this person. It's like, oh yeah, but this person, that's actually like me. Or it's actually like some kind of aspect of my own personality. It's like, yeah, that's exactly why you are here, because we are close in a way.
Can you maybe give us an example of a company who has this soul? You don't have to give a name, but just an example that you feel the company has a soul. And if you would work in that company, you would feel like, yeah, I totally feel its personality.
Well, mostly what I can see and what most people see is the way this company is represented to the outside world. But to actually know yourself as a company, as an employee for such company, you would actually have to work there to see whether this company is building such a close, like heart-to-heart relationship with employees. Normally you wouldn't see that on the outside. Mm. You see only how if they are building the same connection with the audience. And there are so many global companies that do that when it comes to company to the outside world. They do it perfectly. Apple and Nike are just such a good and obvious examples. Yeah, but they are huge companies, but you can never see actually and know the connection among the company versus employee if you're not working there. And that is actually a close relationship just for the employee, for the coworker and the company. And that is like what is happening behind closed doors. And we can say that it's not our business and it doesn't affect the way they are seen in the outside world. But actually it is, because employees are kind of ambassadors for every company. It's the way they talk among themselves. And when the customer comes into their office, for example, and company and employees are talking among themselves, and the customer gets an idea of the company, not of those particular person, people, but about the company. Or when an employee goes outside of the office and talks to his friends or whoever about the company, it also builds an image of the company.
If we talk about a company like IKEA, it's a huge, like, how do you connect to every employee's heart to ensure that this person who works in a warehouse somewhere in, I don't know, in which, whatever country, that they going outside of their work will still say, IKEA is a great. And when somebody is talking some dirt on the company, it would be in their blood to say opposite and protect its brand.
Well, it all goes back to the company culture. That is the first. That's the very basic, because that's what company stands on. It's the company culture. The second thing is you have to define it. It can't be something abstract.
If there would be one advice to all smaller companies who want to grow big, be confident, and do an impact in the world, what would it be from communications point of view?
Know who you are, how you want to be seen by others, and be consistent. And by consistent, I mean in every channel, because sometimes when you see an email from a company, they sound in a one way, but when you actually talk to those people, they seem like somebody else.
I see how communication is such an important part in creating your brand as such, not only the company brand.
I could talk for hours and for weeks about communication because it's not just about the brand. It's not just about the personal brand or company brand. It's about everything. Every day, every one of us is communicating. Whether it's in the family, in your house, you go on the street, you go to your, with your talk with your coworkers, communication. It's like you breathe, you communicate. It's like it's all around us. And it affects not only your life and how your family's day will turn out, but also how you scream to the people in the next car who doesn't know how to drive, obviously, and the angry people on the streets. That all is communication. And that is actually making the world around us. It is making the life we live and the atmosphere around us.
So how can we, one person at a time, one person every day, make a difference in communication? Especially, it's easy to communicate when we are happy, when we are in a good mood, when we had our day going our way. But in those moments, when you just want to scream and be angry and nobody's good and everybody's wrong. So how to shift that in ourselves and still leave this nice impact on someone else?
I have two things for myself that help me because I have those days myself. When I, to calm myself, first of all, I breathe, but then I know that this will pass. When it comes to other people, when I'm by myself, it's like, oh, everything is easy. It's perfect. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. So everything is fine. But when I connect with other people, which are sometimes can be different, annoying, it's like, oh my God, I can't do this. I just want to scream. And then what helps me is that I never know what is this person's story. Why is the way he is reacting, he or she is reacting this way?
And what is your definition of a cool person?
Well, for me, a cool person is someone who motivates other people, who can make other people blossom, who can open up other people to believe in themselves and reach higher highs in themselves. There are so many such people, inspiring people around us, like, wow, they're such cool people. Yeah, and I'm very thankful that we have those people around us. So thanks. Thanks for that.
Next time I want to react to someone's, in my opinion, inappropriate response, I'm going to pause, breathe in, and remember that I have no idea what is going on in this person's life. I'm sure this will benefit the both of us. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe for more and share with your friends. Join me on Instagram for more backstage stories, and I see you next episode.